We'd like to welcome everyone this morning to our service. I'm very thankful to be here this morning, very thankful to be able to stand before you. We'd like to recognize, first of all, our guests in the audience. You're our welcome guest, and we would ask that you come again at any time that you're able to. So our theme this month is Hard Sayings of the Apostle Paul. My topic is Accept Him Who is Weak. We find our text in Romans 14 and verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 13. There the Bible says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." We touched on this topic back in July when we studied the book of Galatians. It involved Christian liberty. You may remember Brother Brian's lesson entitled Stand Fast in Christian Liberty. The text was from Galatians 5 and verse 1. There the Bible says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There were 7 questions that Brother Brian presented in his introduction. Question number 4, are strong Christians more faithful than weak Christians? What is meant by receive one who is weak in the faith? There was a need for unity between the Jews and the Gentiles in the churches of Rome, and this letter provides the basis for that unity. An important part of the Christian life is getting along with one another. Jesus prayed for unity among the believers in John 17, verse 20 through verse 23. Paul condemned division among Christians in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through verse 13. And Jesus died to make Jew and Gentile one man and one body in Ephesians 2, 14 through verse 16. Unity didn't come easily in the early church. Jewish Christians were reluctant to accept Gentile Christians, and knowledgeable Christians were not always considerate of the weaker Christian. to ensure that brethren receive one another as they should, Paul writes the letter to Rome in which he provides admonition to the strong and to the weak. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, I can truly say we studied in the book of Galatians and in the book of Philippians and now in the book of Romans, and certainly in studying this, there is certainly encouragement as far as unity is concerned in dealing with in one another and dealing with as brethren, basically. From the text in Romans 14 and verse 1, there again the verse said, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." There are five questions that we see in verse 1 that if we take these questions in consideration and we answer these questions properly, the rest of the discussion seems to become much easier. The first question is, what is meant by the word faith? Number 2, what is meant by the words weak and strong? Number 3, what kinds of issues come under the heading of matters of liberty? Number 4, to whom is Paul speaking in this example? Number 5, how are strong and weak brethren supposed to receive one another? First of all, in the scriptures, the word faith is used in several different ways. First, it is used with reference to the thing to be believed, and in this sense, it means the same thing as terms like the truth, the gospel, the doctrine, the word of God, the New Testament, or the law of Christ. It included all of the New Testament when used in this manner. In Ephesians 4 and verse 5, there it speaks of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. In Jude, in verse 3, there it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to all saints." Next, faith is used to refer only to mental acceptance. We find this in James 2 and verse 19. There it says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Most often, though, it is used of the belief or faith by which one is saved, as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. There it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." Here in Romans 14 and verse 1, it refers to a person's belief that what he is doing is either right or it's wrong. It is closely associated to one's conscience. It refers to one's belief or trust in his conscience. In verse 2 and verse 3, God receives the Christian whose faith is weak. In verse 4, God is able to make him stand. In verse 5, every man is to be fully persuaded in his own mind. These references are not about saving faith because one does not have the option of making decisions about the requirements of faith. Instead, these references are to the Christian's belief or their trust in his conscience. What is meant by the words weak and strong? In Romans 15 and verse 1, there the Bible says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves." From Brother Brian's lesson, weak are those that have an overly sensitive conscience. Strong are those that do not have an overly scrupulous conscience. When Paul refers to the man whose faith is weak, he is not condemning him as a poor or a bad Christian or one who is backslidden. According to verse 2 through verse 5, a brother whose faith is weak may never eat meat all of his life because of his weak faith and still go to heaven. His conscience is weak and it is unnecessarily scrupulous. The brother who is weak in the faith has a conscience that is overly sensitive. Think of it this way. He is one who does not understand his liberties in Christ. Brother Cullen once said that there are those who live below the blessings of God. These would be those brethren that don't understand their liberties in Christ. By contrast, the brother who is strong is not necessarily one who is a good Christian or a strong Christian. He is not a holier or more righteous Christian. This brother may eat the meat of those who are weak, may eat the meat and those who are weak and despise him, and two, he may also go to heaven. The word strong refers to his conscience. The strong are scrupulous also, but they're not unnecessarily so. Their conscience is not overly sensitive. Such a brother understands and allows himself to practice his liberties in Christ. So what kind of issues come under this heading of matters of liberty? Romans 14 is not discussing matters of law. There's no command. There's no example. There's no necessary inference. No principle is a matter of liberty. In verse 3, Paul says, "For God has received both he that eats all things and he that only eats vegetables." In verse 5, he says that every man is to be fully persuaded in his own mind about whether or not to esteem one day above another. Paul cannot make either of these statements about a New Testament law or a doctrine. So, the matters in Romans 14, as pointed out before, are matters of liberty or freedom. Matters about which each believer is free to choose either to participate or to refrain from participating in. To establish a matter to be within the boundaries of Romans 14, a particular issue must not be a matter of obligation or restraint. And second, participating in it must not violate any other passage demanding obedience from the believer. Who is Paul speaking to in this example? We find four groups of people are taken into consideration in this example. There are two who are right in their views, and two are wrong. There are two groups of brethren with strong consciences. There are those whose consciences are strong but also respect the weak consciences of their brethren. There are others who are strong. That is, they understand their liberties but also insist on their rights regardless of the damage done to their brethren with the weaker conscience. These brethren are wrong. On the other hand, there are two groups of brethren whose consciences are weak. That is, unnecessarily scrupulous or overly sensitive. There are those whose consciences are weak who permit their brethren with strong consciences to exercise their freedoms. These brethren are right. There are those who are weak brethren who condemn the freedoms of the stronger brethren, and these brethren are wrong. To make this matter more complex, both the Jews and the Gentiles are under consideration here. When this is entered into the equation, we realize that there are actually eight groups involved and taken into consideration. So you can imagine how things can get out of hand pretty quickly. And that was the situation in the early church when Paul wrote this letter to the church of Rome, to the churches of Rome. Two things are evident. Not everyone is a strong brother, and no one is strong in every permission. It is important that every believer be able to assess accurately his own conscience in these matters, so he can adopt the right attitude in whichever state he finds himself. Only when we recognize the strength or weakness of our own conscience in a particular issue of liberty can we make the right decision for ourselves and adopt the right attitude toward the brethren who might make a different decision than we would make. How are the strong and weak conscience brethren supposed to receive one another? First, it is a Bible command that brethren are to receive one another. Second, they are to do so, but not to doubtful disputations. They are to receive one another without passing judgment on disputable matters. This is matters of liberty or matters of permission. It is wrong to regard a brother as a liberal because he chooses to engage in a matter of liberty. It is also wrong to judge a brother as conservative because he does not engage in the same liberty. These judgments pertain to areas of law or doctrine and not to liberties. In Romans 14, verse 11 through verse 13, there it says, "For it is written, as we live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way." Here the Apostle Paul admonishes both the weak and the strong, the right and the wrong, and both the Jew and the Gentile. God is the judge of all. It is not the privilege of Christians to judge one another in matters of liberty. When Christians presume to judge in matters of liberty, they only endanger their own souls by doing what has been forbidden. In matters of doctrine, law, or divine legislation, requiring or prohibiting an action, Jesus commands to judge righteous judgment. In John 7 and verse 24, there we read, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." This is to judge according to the true facts of the matter that is taken in consideration by investigating the scriptures as well as the incident that is under consideration. The judging condemned in verse 13 involves judging matters of liberty. Matters about which Christians are given the permission to decide for themselves whether to participate or whether to refrain from participating. The last point the Apostle Paul makes concerning this passage, which reveals the believer's freedom in Christ, is a very sobering point. Each Christian will have his hands full preparing himself for the judgment, for we must all stand before God and give an account of ourselves, not the brethren. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, there it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In closing, Paul's admonition to all, "Do not judge another in matters of liberty. The weak are prohibited from judging the strong, and the strong are prohibited from judging the weak. What is to be condemned by all brethren, the weak and the strong, is the placing of stumbling blocks in the path of one another." The Christian man who has been described in verses 1 through verse 13 as a free man, subject to no one in all matters concerning liberty, now must begin to recognize the divine limitations placed on his freedoms. He is, in fact, to be a responsible servant of his brethren, subject to all of them. The instructions from verse 13 are directed to those brethren who are strong in the faith. While it is clearly a sin for either the weak or the strong to impose their wills upon each other in matters of liberty, the strong have the added responsibility to see that no stumbling block is placed in the path of the weaker brethren. So what is meant by receive one who is weak in the faith? The Apostle Paul answers this question in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 through verse 13. There he said, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." If there is one this morning that is subject to the gospel call, or one that stands in the need of the prayers of the church, we would bid you come while we stand in the need.